Amen.
Amen.
So we've been in this series on waiting on God. Last week we talked about when God seems inattentive. It seems as though when we are praying to God and we're seeking God, God sees our present condition, and it seems as though God completely ignores our situation. But we realize that even in calamity, God will be glorified. And so I'm going to press in a little bit on this waiting on God with part two in this series titled, When God Seems Late. When God Seems Late. We're going to revisit a passage I preached, I want to say back in April or so in John chapter 11. The Lord took me back to this passage to see something a little different than what I saw before. And so we're going to be kind of all over John chapter 11. So just kind of like John chapter 11. We're going to pick up at verse 1. But this is a great passage that reminds us that it's important to just wait on God. Because in waiting on God, so much is revealed about who God is and who we are when we're facing certain doom and gloom. Amen. But if you're like me, I'm not one for waiting. Y'all left me by myself. I just get all kinds of antsy when I have to wait for anything. I hate waiting in the doctor's office. Quiet right there. Since I moved here from Arkansas, I hate waiting in traffic. I mean, it just took it to a whole nother level.
Yep.
I mean, I complained about waiting in traffic like 5 or 10 minutes in Arkansas. I'm like, I smiled when I saw traffic in Arkansas. This couple weeks and said, oh, this is it? Praise the Lord. I hate waiting on the airport. Is one of my favorites. I hate waiting at Walmart. Can I be totally human? I really don't care nothing about going to Walmart. It seems like it just sucks up time. I mean, you go for one thing, and it seems like everything else starts talking to you. Y'all left me by myself.
We did.
But here's one thing I learned about waiting. Waiting sometimes also diminishes our sense of hope. Because we're praying, we're trusting, we're believing, and yet we're hoping for things to turn around or to improve or to get better. And it seems like we're waiting specifically in certain seasons. Like, for instance, some of us are waiting when we're facing like financial challenges. We're waiting for things to turn around. Maybe it's just me. Some have waited through health challenges, looking for their health to improve and to get better. Let's bring it closer to home. Some are waiting for some relational situations to improve and get better. Getting quiet right now. And it seems as though God seems to be late as we are praying and waiting and trusting. But one of the things I'm learning is that hope is a very powerful thing. That sometimes when you're facing certain doom, it seems as though hope wants to escape you. But one of the things I've learned is that we have to hold on to hope and expect that things won't stay like this always. Because we have to revisit if God has delivered us before, surely he's God enough to do it again. We cannot forget what God has done for us and what God will do for us. Amen. I remember reading an article that was trying to study this idea of hope. And so what this laboratory had done, they had taken these lab rats and placed them in water. And they put one group in one tank and they put another group in another tank. In 1 hour, the first group of rats drowned. Within an hour, they just gave up. They couldn't
couldn't make it. The second group kept swimming. And they kept swimming. And they kept swimming. They had swam for over 24 hours. And what the researchers discovered was that what they needed to do was periodically reach in and grab the little mice and pull them out and then put them right back in. And they would do that periodically. They would come over, scoop them up, put them back down in there. Because what they realized is that the rats had hope. They just kept saying, if I just keep swimming long enough, I know that hand's gonna swoop down any minute and rescue me from this situation. And many of us feel like those little mice. We just swim it because we know that one moment, God's gonna swoop down and scoop us up out of this situation. Why? Because God has done it before. And if God has done it before, all I need to do is just keep hoping and trusting that that hand is gonna come down again and scoop me up. Because God is faithful. That's why scripture says, great is thy faithfulness. So God is faithful even when it seems as though our situation is unfaithful. Oh my gosh. Because sometimes we have a hard time reconciling a faithful God who loves me, who leads me in situations that I want to be delivered out of. This doesn't seem to be very faithful on God. But God, he is faithful. Tell your neighbor, God is faithful. Right now in Job chapter 30, I've been reading through the Bible. And you know, Job was a very faithful man who was full of hope. And he was faced with calamity. And as he was facing all this difficulty, this is what he said in Job chapter 30, verses 26 through 28. This wrecked me this week. He says, but when I hoped for good, evil came. Have y'all ever felt like that?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I couldn't even really get past that. He says, when I hoped for good, evil came. And when I waited for light, darkness came. My inward parts are in turmoil and never still. That's in the Bible. And I felt like that before. As if, when your insides are a mess, he says, days of affliction come to meet me. They have an appointment with me. I go about darkened, not by the sun. I stand up in the assembly and I cry for help. He says, I come to church and I cry for help. Because the situation has got that desperate. So what do you do? What do you do when you're faced with such desperate situations? And then I read Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, and this also wrecked me this week. He says, oh Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. Watch this. Watch what he says. You do such wonderful things. You planned them. Watch this. Long ago, and you now accomplished it. Isaiah says this, but you have to really understand why is he saying this. In chapter 24, he's talking about this doom and gloom of judgment that was going to come upon the people, and he's suggesting that those who are faithful to God will not lose hope when all this is collapsing around them. He said that the saints, their minds are fixed on Jesus in the midst of the tribulation. So yes, tribulation will come, but my mind and my eyes are set on him. That's why he says that we have to look to him. Lift our eyes to him. It's not to say that we can't see our situation, because we can see our situation. Amen, somebody. We can see it. And if anything, they're trying to make themselves bigger. But the Bible says that we have to lift our eyes to Jesus. Meaning that we have to look just above our current situation, and that's where our hope will be found. Not by just looking at our situation over and over and over again. Because if you keep looking at it, guess what? It's going to keep speaking louder, and it's going to become more discouraging and disheartening, and you're gonna feel hopeless. Right. But in John chapter 11, I think we can find some encouragement how they made it through this hopeless situation. John chapter 11, if you have verse 1, that's where we're gonna start. And just kind of jot this down as we're flipping over to John chapter 11. And this is what the Lord reminded me. With God, a waiting season is never a wasted season.
Hallelujah.
If God has you in a time of waiting, don't think it's going to be wasted.
Amen.
God has you in a holding pattern, it's not going to be wasted. Because God wants to accomplish something in you or through you. So just be still. We just sang about this. So be still and know that He is God. I know the temptation is we want to fix it. Hello, lights and walls. When we see the situation, our natural inclination is we gotta fix it. But sometimes God put us in situations that's beyond our ability to fix it. But then therefore we had to fix our eyes. Amen? Say amen. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So P game, look at verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now a certain man was ill. This is Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary, and I want you to pay attention to this. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with the ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sick. This is in Greek, apostello. This is where we get the word apostle. Again, sick. They sent somebody to give a message to Jesus, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Okay, let's stop right there. I found it very interesting that they never gave the message to bring healing to their situation. They never said, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. We need you to heal him. Now, if he's sick, it would make sense for them to make their request known. Jesus, he's sick. We need you to heal him. But I think I learned something really important about this passage. It's not so much as what the Lord can do for you, but it's the fact that the Lord can be with you in the sickness. Okay, let me say it like this. Having Jesus with you is better than what the Lord can do for you.
Yes.
Okay, y'all left me by myself. Their brother is sick. They need him healed. They don't make the request, Lord, come heal him. They said, Lord, come here. Okay, y'all listen. Okay. There are certain circumstances that we have to look around us and that we just need to invite Jesus into that situation.
Yes.
If our home life is tough up, Jesus, I need you in the house right now.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, let me bring it closer. Yes. My work situation is tough up. Jesus, I need you to show up right here, right now. Okay, still that. Okay, Jesus, I'm sick in my body. Jesus, I need you to show up right here, right now. Whenever there is a situation that's beyond your control, you need to learn to invite Jesus right there. Because here's the saddest thing. Sometimes we compartmentalize stuff. Okay, Jesus, I got this over here. I don't need you over here, Jesus. I got this. And the area that you think you got this, the Lord would disturb and cause all kind of crazy stuff to happen, and it's now no longer in your control. And you say, okay, Jesus, I thought I had it, but Jesus, I need you right here. Say it again, right now. Because there are some moments that's beyond our control, and we need to just invite Jesus into that situation. Jesus, show up. Not so much to fix it, okay? And I don't want you to miss that, because they yes, ultimately I think they wanted Jesus to fix it, but needed Jesus to be there. Because even if you're in a situation that does not improve, as long as you have Jesus right there, guess what he does? He comforts you. He consoles you. He gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. So even if the situation doesn't get fixed, God is right there and won't abandon you. Because he's right there. But watch what happens. In the text, it tells us something specific. It says, Mary is the one who anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped it away with her hair, which was just a sign of worship, because she knew how to worship Jesus. She worshiped Jesus. She knew how to worship Jesus. But that didn't absolve her from experiencing difficulties. And I don't care how much you worship and call the name of Jesus, sometimes hard times just find you. And it does not matter how worship is for you, God will send a situation into your life, and it doesn't matter how well you worship. Because you can't say, God, I worship you, I want to be absolved from this, I want to be excused from this difficulty, but even our best worship, hard times come. You can have the best hallelujah and still be in hell. I mean, can I say hell? And watch this. And sometimes you learn something else. Sometimes your best worship happens when you're in the fire. Amen. As we were praying this morning, the Lord was showing that, you know, when Daniel, in the book of Daniel, where the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire. Remember, they never gave up on worshiping Jesus. They never gave up on worshiping their Lord. No. They wouldn't bow down. They were thrown into the fire. Guess what? In the fire is when they saw Jesus clearly. They said, wait a minute. There's three dudes. It was three we threw in here, but where's the fourth one? Sometimes fire has a way of refining our sense of seeing stuff. When we can see Jesus clearly, oh, you get a surprise. You see him clearly then. But the question that we have to ask ourselves, how do I worship when I'm suffering? How do I worship God when I feel like the weight of the world is on me? And I'm glad y'all went there. That's why that Psalm 46 says, you just need to learn to be still. Because I promise you, for some people, worship is all about the expressions. Hands lifted. I might do a little dance. I may bow down. But watch this. Sometimes when you don't have time or you just feel so much pressure around, you just I got time to lift my hands. I don't got time to get down on my knees. I'm just going to be still because I don't know what's going on, but God, I'm just going to trust you. And know that you're God. Because now worship is no longer a performance. Worship is now a reality. Because life got real. Two things you got to remember when you're waiting on God. Two things, and then we'll raise up one out here. You say, man, that's quick. Don't worry. We're going to work through this. The first thing, God's delays are not necessarily God's denials.
Right.
Amen. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Pick me up in verse 4. Watch what goes down. He says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is, watch this, for the glory of God. Let's pause here very quickly and say this. We understand that, but it doesn't make sense to us when we're in the thick of the heat. So we have to keep saying this to ourselves until we start believing it. Okay? So what I mean is for God's glory. Amen. Yeah, quiet right there. It's like, no, I don't want to say amen right there. I want the situation better. Amen. Okay, so watch what happens. He says, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. All right? So the suffering that we experience is not just for us. Okay? Because I think sometimes we get confused that it's for us to be able to have a great story to tell. It got quiet right there. Let me try that one more time. That sometimes I think that when we have these testimonies, we think it's really about us. And we make it about us. Watch what Jesus says. He says, it's not about them. It's about me being glorified through the situation. So if you tell the story and Jesus not being glorified, you just not tell the story. Sit down somewhere. Because it's almost like we do, and Jesus made it way as a hashtag. Okay, let me go a different direction. That's just as a close to the story. But we need to be able to tell a story as though Jesus is throughout the entire story. Not just talk about how we came out of it and how we're going to praise him. No, we need to say, God, you kept me when I wanted to upkeep myself. When I wanted to run out, God, you sustained me. When I was in an unpeaceful state, God, you gave me peace. We need to tell the whole story. Take them and tell the whole story. And make sure you tell Jesus part of it too. Don't just... Can we leave Jesus out of that story? Just he helped me out. Amen. Verse 5. Now Jesus, and this is what messed me up. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. He loved them. He stayed 2 more days. And here's what I'm learning about God. That God's delays are not necessarily denials, but sometimes it's just a not yet. You're not ready for it yet. The problem is we think we know better than God. Okay, got quiet right there. It's all about God's time. Right now, Galatians chapter 4. He says, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. So God understands timing better than we do. Okay, y'all didn't like that. Okay. Let me take a different direction. Right down Isaiah chapter 55. Maybe we don't like hearing that God knows better than us while we're facing situations. That's okay. We'll go to the word. Okay? So the word says, Isaiah 55, verse 89, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. The Lord said this. So even if we feel like we know better, because again, even if we pray a very specific prayer, we have to be okay with however God answered. Because God knows better than we do. So get that out of your mind. God, I just need you to do it the way I want you to do it. No, God's going to do it the way God needed done for his glory. So he says, and just as much as the heavens are from earth, he says, that's like my ways for your ways. You can't even touch me. So what was his ways in the text? Verse 6. The Bible says he stayed 2 more days. And when you read the rest of that, verses 7 through 11, he changed the subject. He goes on to something else. Oh, gosh. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. They said, Jesus, we need you to show up. Dude, you love? He's sick. Jesus says, yeah, okay, got it. It is not to death. Son of God, I'm going to glorify through it. Moving on. So now just think about your prayer being answered like that. God, here's my situation. I need you to show up. Okay, the Lord says, okay, I got your message. Okay. All right, so you're not going to die in it. Okay? Matter of fact, I'll be glorified through it. Next. You got to read it right now. You praying? And watch this. Now, on the other side of this, they're waiting. We send word to Jesus. And the situation is not improving. If anything, now he's dead. Could Jesus have healed him? Absolutely. Matter of fact, he didn't even have to go there to do it. There are instances in scripture where Jesus says, all right, when you get there, it's going to be straight. It's going to be cool. So Jesus can just speak a word and a situation can be turned around. But Jesus says this waiting is going to produce a glory. But it doesn't take away from this fact. They were still there waiting on Jesus. Lazarus still died. Now watch this. They still had to do the grieving process. I mean, think about this. The situation could have been changed. All Jesus had to do was to speak a word. But he allowed them, to experience the depth of the pain before he shows up. I mean, he set the stage right for something miraculous to happen. Because this situation couldn't have been more hopeless. Okay? Watch what happened. Let's go down to verse 17. He came. I want you to watch this. Now when Jesus came, and he shows up. He found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Okay? So again, at that point, his body, King James says it stinketh. I just want to say stinking. I had to say it stinking. It had a bad odor. It was foul. It was completely evident that he was dead. Okay? Watch it. Not mostly dead, not comatose, not incapacitated. He was dead as dead can be. Why do we know this? Because his body stank. Okay? There was a stink, there was an odor that came from because it was evidence that it was completely beyond their control now. Oh gosh. There was nothing that they could have done to fix that situation. It was as bad. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where it is so bad that there is nothing you literally can do to fix this situation. And watch this. And there is evidence that would suggest you can't do nothing about it. Okay, y'all look about myself. Okay. Jesus arrived, and there is evidence that there's nothing that Martha and Mary can do to fix that situation. And sometimes we'll find ourselves in moments where the evidence will suggest you can't do nothing about this. And matter of fact, the evidence will even tell you can't do nothing about this. You might as well stop trying. But then Jesus shows up. Okay, that's the shout part. Jesus shows up in a completely dead, hopeless situation. Why? Because he can do something about it. Pick up in verse 20. So when Martha heard that Jesus coming, she hurried up, ran out there. Let me meet Jesus. But Mary remained seated in the house, which is kind of a role reversal, okay? Because remember, Mary was the one who was about worshiping. She always wanted to be where Jesus was. This time she stayed in the house. Okay. Y'all ain't been there yet. You get in a situation so rough. You ain't come to worship today. I'll talk to Jesus later. Hello, lights and walls. She said, I'm not today. Yeah, I was wiping his feet with my tears and ointments and all that. Yes, I was waiting at his feet before, but not today. Martha, you can go out there. I'm staying in the house. Okay. You gotta read it like it's in there. So she remained seated in the house. And like I said, she was seated in the house. She can stand up. Okay. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. So let's peek game on Martha's attitude. She's not rejoicing in the fact that Jesus shows up. If anything, we can read in this that she has a little bit of an attitude. If you were here, I mean, let's bring it to a contemporary version. She probably came out there, hand on the hip. Neck rolling.
Where
You get my test?
I get my test.
You got the last one, I invite you to dinner. So the Bible again torn it out. Because now her disposition is messed up because she was expecting Jesus to show up sooner. But Jesus shows up later. She's got an attitude. And let me say that when Jesus shows up, let's be glad about him. Amen, somebody? But when he shows up, regardless of whatever the situation is, he showed up in the situation. And that means that whatever's going to happen, it's going to be for his glory. It's going to be all good after this. But whatever's going to go down after this, it's going to be all good after this because Jesus showed up. And one thing I'm noticing, that there'll be evidence of Jesus showing up in the situation because you start seeing things happen. Okay? Watch this. So this is a great segue to the second point. If God always met your expectation, he never had the opportunity to exceed them. Okay, y'all listen. If God always met your expectations, God would never have an opportunity to exceed them. How do we know this? Look at the text. They're looking for Jesus to heal Lazarus. Jesus wanted to resurrect Lazarus. Okay? His ways, not like our ways. And many of us just want Jesus to fix it. And what I'm learning too is that sometimes God's trying to fix it in us. Okay. I'm learning that God wants to do more in us than he does for us. Amen. And for them, they had to wait so that they can see Jesus do something that would exceed their expectations. But they couldn't see it. Why? Because they were consumed by what they wanted. And let me tell you, don't be so consumed with what you want that you miss Jesus. Mary's sitting there chilling, not moved by the fact that Jesus moved near them. Whenever Jesus shows up, it ought to move us to where he is. Okay, Lord, you're here now. It's all good. Pick me up at verse 23. So Jesus shows up. He doesn't just show up empty-handed. He has a word. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know. And that's part of how she said it. I know. That he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Because again, that she acted as if she knows more than Jesus. He's trying to speak a word. She act like, I know better than you, Jesus. So don't give me that stuff today. Verse 25, she said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me, watch this, shall never die. Do you believe this? Okay? So, we know this. Lazarus is dead. We gotta say, oh, Lazarus is dead. They're sad. They're grieving. Martha goes out to the scene with a whole lot of attitude. And remember, don't forget this phrase. The Bible says, and Jesus loved them. He didn't heal them, he did. They're mourning, they're in grief. Jesus didn't show like they wanted him to. The Bible says Jesus loved them. So help me understand this. How does one supposed to interpret that kind of love? God, you love me, but you don't leave me in this situation. God, you love me, and you let my loved one die. God, you love me and you left me sick. God, you love me and you allowed me to experience financial difficulty. You love me? And God's response, yes. Because I didn't leave you there, then you wouldn't witness what I can do while you're there. You would see me flex my God muscles in your situation. If I just healed you, you would have had a lower view of me. But now that I let the situation happen, now you have an elevated view of who I am. Because sometimes in difficulties, you experience God in new ways that you haven't experienced Him before. Jesus faced it. He says, no, I'm not. Watch what He says to him. He says, I am. In the Greek, that's ego and me. It's Jesus saying to us, I am God. Or in other words, I am more than enough to do something about your situation. So he says, I am more than enough. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, if you believe in me, you will never die. And so in other words, he says, I am what you're looking for. Because for them, remember, they're looking for a healing. They're looking for fixing. Jesus, I'm trying to give you life. Try it one more time. They're looking for healing. They're looking for fixing. Jesus said, I'm giving you much more sustaining than any of those things. Because anything that we ask for God is less than what He has for us anyway. Okay, y'all left me by myself. We can ask for anything from God, but it's always going to be more than what He wants to do through us. Look what He says. Go down to verse 23. I love this. He says, take away the stone. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. The scene of their greatest disappointment became a scene for their greatest miracle. Y'all left me by myself. When they needed Jesus to show us, where they experienced the greatest disappointment. But they experienced the greatest miracle because they stayed right there and Jesus showed up. And sometimes we cannot forget what God has done for us. Y'all left me by myself. We cannot forget what God has done for us. Okay, let's do this. Y'all looking at me strange. Okay, take your bulletin. I hope you feel it up. Try to find some space on this somewhere. And I want you to just replay and go back in time over your life. And I want you to revisit the greatest difficulty you have faced in your life. Now, I want you to think about it from the Lazarus situation. He was completely dead. There was evidence that suggests there's nothing that they could have done to fix it. So if you think back, what was that like for you? What was that for you? Okay, here's my situation, Jesus. I didn't think I was going to make it. Didn't think of what was the outcome. What was the greatest difficulty? What was the outcome? Don't get spiritual and say, oh, he's sanctified. Well, yeah, he does that anyway. I came out with holy hands lifted. Yeah, you're supposed to. What was the outcome of that situation? As you're writing this down and thinking, let me share one of my stories, one of my greatest difficulties. I remember years ago, 2012 specifically, God was doing something in my life that I couldn't put my finger on. I said, I need you to go and plant and start a new church. I was a full-time youth pastor. I'm like, okay, Lord, now I don't even know what you're talking about. That's nothing I dreamed about. That's nothing I envisioned. God says, what does that have to do with me? Anyway, y'all catch that later. And as I began to get more confident that God was calling me to this, I was reluctant to be obedient to God's voice. Have you ever been there, God calls you to something that's really beyond your capacity? You said, I can't do this, I don't have the gifts or the skill set. That doesn't matter to God. God wants to use you, he will use you. So in October of 2012, went out, started the church, left my full-time job. Y'all left me by myself. Because when you start a church, they don't come with all, you know, packages already put together. They don't have salaries. No. They just, you going on Jesus. So October rolled through, no money. November rolls through, Thanksgiving, no money. December rolls through, I'm still trusting that God said it. God said it, man. God said go. I'm going. Christmas rolling through. Here's my list, Daddy. This is my home. I'm pulling out that wallet. Ain't get no help. January, nothing. February, nothing. March, nothing. April, nothing. Now it's getting real. Now me and Jesus having a real conversation. All right, now look now. I hope y'all had that kind of conversation with you. Now look now. You said, this situation ain't improving. Have you ever been in a situation so bad? Watch it. We start having to sell stuff just to survive? Have you ever? Oh, God, okay. So, May rolls around, get a phone call. This church says, hey, I want to leave with you. We heard what you're trying to do in this community, and we had only 4 or 5 people. I mean, we ain't raising that big an offer.
$20.
And that was me and my family, so. We just moving money around, so. I mean, and so, the phone call says, hey, we want to meet with you, we want to hear your vision. So I said, okay, here, I put out a 17-page vision and strategy. I laid it on tape. Here you go. They thumbed through, and I don't even know if they really read it. They just, hey, we see what you're doing, we believe in you, we're going to sell it to you, finish it. I'm like, cool. I'm thinking $500, $1,000, man, that'd be great right now. Again, God exceeds our expectations. So they raised up an offering, what they call Barnabas Sunday. And then they followed up with another meeting. They said, hey, we got enough to cover your salary. And I like the salary. At this point, whatever you throw on the table. So be dang, it wasn't just salary for the month of May. It wasn't salary for the month of June. It was not just for the rest of that year. Not even for the next year. For the third year, they raised my salary for 3 years in one offering. I'm thinking $500, $1,000. God says, I'm going to exceed your expectation. And watch this. And then all of a sudden, we start seeing people coming. And then our church donated their building to our effort. Okay, y'all love me by myself. They said, hey, we believe in what you're doing, what God wants to do. Limited knowledge, sell stuff. Go go back to work doing something else. God said, no. Trust me. I got you. Even when, because he seemed late, but he showed up. He may seem late, but he will show up. And I know many of you are looking at me and listen to my story, but I like to journal, so I encourage you to write down those stories that you've experienced God show up. So that you go back and read, I pull up my journal and I look back at some of the moments where I felt helpless. Then I look back and I see the moments where I had hope. God won't give up. He won't. He wants to do something through you that you can't even imagine. You got to live. I just want you to revisit those hard places that you've been in your life. I want you to replay that in your mind. He doesn't think back to my story. As we were struggling through this, my lights can get cut, our cast stay low, our kids were fed, we had gas in the car. God provided. God will provide. More than just resources, God wants to be the source in your life, the place that you run to when you have really no one else you can run to. Friends and family may fail you, but God, our Father, would never fail you. And Jesus